Thank you, Oscar. If you can read, keep that passage open in front of you. And we're going to be thinking about that. We're going to pray for God to help us to understand that story. Father God, we pray that you would help us to understand what you say, to believe your promises, and to be able to follow you more closely, and to know you as our Father who loves us. Amen. So we've got a title for this first bit. It looks a bit like that. Lost the words. So it sort of says, what? And then this is kind of people. And we're going to think about the people in the story. And later on, we're going to think about ourselves as well. So that's why it's sort of black there. What people do to King Jesus? That's our first little thought. What people do to King Jesus? Now, I need to remember the story so far. Pathfinders and adults have been looking at this story. Jesus has been before the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish leaders. And then his friends have kind of disowned him and run away. He's on his own now. He's feeling fairly lonely. And then he's taken before a Roman ruler, a man called Pilate. What are you doing?
Oh, sorry, Dave. Yeah, I just got really, really excited just then because you said, you know, Jesus taken before a pilot. I mean, I love planes and I'm hoping there'll be some planes in today.
No, not that sort of pilot, Paul. No aeroplanes in the story. No, he's the Roman governor. He's kind of a ruler of the Roman people in that area. And he's called Pilate. His name is Pilate. And he's in charge in Jerusalem.
Right, I see. So he's not a pilot. And he's a Roman governor. What's he doing? What's he doing?
Well, he's questioning Jesus to find out why he's been accused of crime. And if you've got the Bible open, have a look down. You'll see that in verse 5, Pilate is amazed. What is Jesus doing in front of him? In verse 9 and 10, we realise that Pilate knows that those who are accusing Jesus are just doing it because they're jealous, they're envious. And in verse 14, we realise that Pilate knows there has been no crime committed. So he's got Jesus in front of him, he's amazed, he knows he's innocent, and he's going to make a decision. Who is he going to release from prison? Is he going to release Jesus, or is he going to release someone called Barabbas?
Barabbas, that sounds a really funny name. Dave, who's Barabbas?
Oh, well, we're told here in this passage, he is in prison for taking part in a rebellion against the leaders. He's a fighter, and he's killed someone. He's a murderer. He is not a nice person.
So, let me get this straight. So this Roman governor, who's called Pilate, not actually a pilot, he has to choose whether to release someone, and he's got Jesus, who's innocent, who's done no wrong, and he's got a murderer. Am I missing something, Dave? Because that sounds like a very easy decision to make.
Yes, it does, Paul, doesn't it? It does. So let's have a look at what he does. Verse 15, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. And he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
What? This is outrageous. I mean, this Pilate sounds a very silly person indeed. I mean, surely he should have just done what he knew to be right. I mean, Jesus was innocent. He should have kept Barabbas in the prison and released Jesus, surely.
Well, Pilate was under lots of different pressure from different people. The Romans wanted to see him boss people around and stay in charge. The Jews, they were plotting to get Jesus killed. And as we saw, the crowd is shouting for Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Tell you what, let's play a game to help us understand what is going on. And that will involve all of you. We're going to play Simon Says. Yes, we are. So let's see how well we do. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Put your hands up in the sky. And then bring them down and rest. Simon Says, bring them down and rest. Now Simon Says, reach out and kind of rub someone on this side. Simon Says, reach out and rub someone on that side. Simon Says, start to clap. Simon Says, reach up really high and then sit nice and high. Oh, Paul, come on. There's still some jiggling. Okay, Simon Says, can you touch your toes where you are on his feet? Some says, reach up high. Some says, reach out wide. Some says, bring your hands in and reach out wide again. Oh, there's lots of people not doing it. Oh, we might come back to that. It seems sort of all right. But you see, sometimes when other people are doing things, like Paul here, there's pressure, isn't it? We join in with other people. And actually, there's pressure on us all the time from our friends and family, from what we watch and read and listen to. It might be jealous pressure, like the chief priests. You might have family or friends who don't like you putting Jesus first or putting his people, the church, first. You might have a family member who tries to guilt trip you about church commitments, or the friend who wants you to like what they like and do what they do, and you don't really need to care about what God wants. Or it might be culture pressure, like that crowd around, pressure from the world and evil. At school or work, maybe we don't admit to being a Christian, or we're scared to speak up for what we believe to be true because lots of people around us, well, they disagree or they take the mick and mock us. Or maybe we join in with bad behaviour or practices or greedy or selfish things so that we can fit in with our friends or our boss. Or we accept just what culture says, all those adverts and programmes around us. Lots and lots of pressures.
Now I think about it, Dave, I kind of see why that might have happened. I mean, I think I need to say sorry to God too, because there are times when I've kept quiet about being a Christian because I've been frightened what people might have thought. And I think we probably all need to say sorry to God for that. Right.
So where we've got to so far in our true story from the Bible is that Pilate has given in under pressure. He has been a bit weak and he has treated Jesus wrongly. And we've started to think about times when we come under pressure and we might do that too.
But Dave, what about Jesus? I mean, it does feel to be a bit of a mistake. It seems to have gone a bit wrong. I mean, Jesus, he's the Son of God, and now they're going to take him off and kill him. That doesn't quite seem right.
Well, that's a good point, Paul. Jesus was going deliberately. Jesus was going to do something for people as he suffered and as he went to his death on the cross. He was offering a swap. Why don't you try and change our title around and see if you can make sense? Instead of what people do to King Jesus, let's try and get what King Jesus does for people. And I'll start to think about
it. I need a little bit of help here. I mean, I've got some spare bits here. So what people do to Jesus? I think we should change that round because this is all about Jesus, King Jesus. But here in the Bible, we see that instead of a crown like this, he's wearing a crown of thorns. So let's swap that round and we say, what do I need next? Anyone? King Jesus, right? What King Jesus does... Have to be very careful here. What King Jesus does. Just two. That's good that that's fallen off. That's fine. Okay. Four. What King Jesus does for us. People. Yeah, absolutely. What King Jesus does for people.
And that was after a practice. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
not well done. So what King Jesus does for people. That's our little thought for the second part.
But Dave, sorry, just quickly. No, perhaps you could go on. Yeah.
How's Jesus dying a swap?
Yeah, actually, I was just wondering that. I don't understand. So how does Jesus dying, how is that a swap?
I'm really glad you asked that. You're about to go back to your families. Take one of these with you. We're going to play a big activity across the church. So you'll need this. And when you get back there, I will tell you what you can do with them. So you can get up now and start to go back to your families. Take one of those with you. Show it to your parents. There you go. And we're going to think about what it means to have swaps. I think Luke's already got one. Grab. Okay, if you've already got one in your family group, please pass one on to someone else. Grab other people to join in groups. Paul will come scattering through the church to find people. Yeah, everybody. Anyone who wants to take your parts, really. Okay. So careful as you come down off the thing.
Okay, who hasn't got one?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Do
you want one,
Mina? Okay.
Got one?
I think you've got one. Do you want to get back to the camera? Okay, here there is a puzzle. My kids have been practicing puzzles recently. In your envelope you have four pieces, but oh no, they're all the same piece. So you can't make that puzzle on your own. What you're going to need to do is swap. So you're going to have to find three other groups with different pieces to find your four different pieces to make up your puzzle. So go for it. You're going to need to have a little bit of movement. Anyone who got most of their shape up? It was my cutting out, so I don't promise they fit. Is it made? Okay, my family's probably cheating. Very good. Anyone else got the puzzle made? Very good, there's a couple there at the back. All the way at the back, excellent. Very good. This side's not doing very well. This side is completely ruining. What's happening over here? Oh, brilliant, there's one there. Have you got all four? Excellent, well done. Okay, 30 more seconds. I didn't work out how to finish this activity. Okay, if you can find your seats again. So you did some swapping. I guess we've all done swapping of various sorts, trying to collect various things. We've started to think about Jesus and Barabbas swapping places. And actually this true story of what happens at the cross, coming out of jail and then someone else going to the cross, it's a wonderful picture of the good news that we believe about a swap that Jesus offers not to Barabbas, but to us. And the Pathfinders are going to help us to understand that just a bit more. So, Pathfinders, can you help us with that, please? Sorry?
Great, okay. So, we've had a bit of an introduction to our story already. And so, let me just remind you about our character, Barabbas. So, here's Barabbas. Okay. As you can see, He's got a dirty t-shirt, which is actually telling us that he is guilty. You remember, he was guilty because he was in a rebellion, and we know that he killed at least one person. So Barabbas is guilty, he's been sentenced to death, and he's got a death sentence hanging over him. Okay, so there's Barabbas. And his dirty t-shirt is reminding us that he is guilty. So, we've got Barabbas on the one hand. On the other hand, we've got Jesus. Okay, so Jesus, like Barabbas, Jesus has been sentenced to death. Like Barabbas, Jesus is in prison. But can you see there's a really important difference between the two? Because although Barabbas is guilty of what he's done, Jesus has done nothing wrong. We see that because he's got a white t-shirt on. That's showing that Jesus is innocent. All those crimes they accused him of, he hasn't done anything wrong. But we saw what happened earlier, didn't we? So although Barabbas was guilty and Jesus was innocent, Pilate, what did he do? Well, he chose to release Barabbas and to condemn Jesus. He said that Barabbas, you can go free, but Jesus has to die. So do you see what's happened? Barabbas is now declared innocent. Pilate says it's as if he's done nothing wrong. He can go free. We're not saying that Barabbas is necessarily going to go to heaven, but we are saying that he has been set free from his punishment. But what else do we see? Well, Jesus, although he's done nothing wrong, he is declared guilty. And so he's wearing that muddy t-shirt to show that he has been sentenced to death. Well, I wonder, does that seem unfair to you? Hands up if you think that seems a bit unfair. Yeah, it does seem pretty unfair, doesn't it? But you know, there's a bigger story going on. Dave's already talked about it. But let's swap out the t-shirts and then show people the other thing that's going on here as well. So you see, like Barabbas here, we are guilty. We've rebelled, just like him, against God. We said, I don't want you in my life, God. And so God has said that we are guilty. But Jesus, you remember that he hadn't done anything wrong that he was accused of? Well, you know, it wasn't just those crimes he was accused of that he hadn't done. He had never done a single thing wrong in his whole life. So he is perfectly innocent. He's got this white t-shirt on that shows he's done nothing wrong. But us? Well, we've got a dirty t-shirt on. We're guilty before God. But the amazing thing that we see on the cross is that Jesus takes the punishment that we deserve. Jesus takes the place of guilty people just like us, taking all that dirt and muck of all the things that we've done wrong, all the ways we've rebelled against God. And what about us? Well, we get that perfect white t-shirt, God saying it's as if you've done nothing wrong. You know what? The punishment that was for you, it's been put on Jesus. He's taken it all, so you're free. You're innocent. And you're free to be in relationship with God. Well, I think that's amazing, and I think that's one of the best things about being a Christian. And back over to Dave.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So as Toby said, for the ways we reject Jesus, we should be facing that punishment. We sometimes talk here at St. Mary's about the word sin being S-I-N, shove off God, I'm in charge and no to your commands. It's the ways that we live in God's world, but ignoring God or rejecting God or just pushing him to one side. It could be because we're jealous that we don't want Jesus to be in charge of us and king of our lives. We want to be king of ourselves. Or it could be like we're feeling just under pressure from the world and our friends. Or it could be our own deliberate rebellion. But whichever it is, we all do that in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. But Jesus takes that sin on himself instead. He offers a swap if we believe in him. Barabbas, that murderer, he would have known that he was guilty and he deserved his punishment because he committed murder. Maybe some of us here, we don't really think that we have a problem being bad. Well, let me ask you, If God didn't think that we were that bad, why would Jesus, the perfect Son of God, have to die for us and take our place? Our problem must be pretty serious if he had to do that. And it is, because we reject the creator of the world and the most wonderful good gods, and we reject the life that he wants to give us. Maybe some of us today are aware that we are guilty. And in that case, as Toby said, this is the best news ever, because we can be completely forgiven if we trust in Jesus. He took all the punishment that we could ever deserve. So let me pray. Join with me in praying about that. Father God, help us to stand strong following Jesus under all sorts of pressure, because we know of this wonderful gospel, this wonderful good news of a swap, that as Jesus takes our place under sin and condemnation, we can take his place as children of God and princes and princesses in heaven. We thank you for this good news. Help us to believe it. Amen.